It's 5:06 and you're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Up next, we'll learn about new frack sand mining regulations proposed in the state legislature.
But first, Aldo Leopold weekend kicks off tonight. It's a time when communities across the state get together around Leopold's idea of a land ethic.
And we'd like to know, what does Aldo Leopold mean to you? Will you be reading a Sand County Almanac? Have you in the past? And what do you think his most important contribution is? You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org.
Here to talk about Aldo Leopold's legacy and the history of Aldo Leopold Weekend is Buddy Huffaker. He's president and executive director of the Aldo Leopold Foundation. Buddy, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Honor to be with you.
Well, for a lot of people in Wisconsin, Aldo Leopold, and around the country, he's a household name, but new people are meeting him all the time. Can you give us a sense of Aldo Leopold, who he was, and what his contribution was?
Yeah. Rob Leopold, just as you say, for many has been an individual and a voice and for decades in their lives, and for many others, they've yet to discover him. And Leopold really is kind of continues to rise in his prominence and influence in terms of how we as a society and as individuals think about our relationship to the natural world. He really was catapulted to fame through his seminal work, A Sand County Almanac, a book published in 1949, a year after his death, and was read widely by folks in his professional fields, forestry and wildlife. But then with the first Earth Day in 1970, Leopold, because his book was so eloquent and poignant, really got rediscovered by a popular audience. And that trend then has been on the rise ever since, as new readers find A Sand County Almanac, either through literature or history or ecology. In fact, Leopold's essay, The Geese Return in A Sand County Almanac, is now used in standardized Chinese textbooks for middle school students all across the country, really as a representation of the finest form of Western literature. So Leopold's not only becoming a household name in Wisconsin, but really across the world.
What did he do in Sand County Almanac that made it such a lasting contribution to conservation and the way we think of nature?
Well, first, you know, probably we should back up, Rob. Leopold was really one of our first professional trained conservationists. So he went to the Yale School of Forestry, which was our country's first professional school, and had a career in forestry in the public sector with the Forest Service, came to Wisconsin through a series of events, and then was hired by the University of Wisconsin to teach the first class ever in our country on wildlife management. And so, again, he is a trained scientist who's looking at the natural world, trying to understand species, including the Homo sapiens species, and our relationship to the natural world. And in 1935, buys a worn-out farm along the Wisconsin River, a little bit north of Baraboo, Wisconsin, and realizes that really what it needs is some tender, loving care, and starts planting trees, restoring prairie. And it's his experience now as an individual, as a husband, as a father, as a landowner, trying to take care of a piece of property that he is compelled to write A Sand County Almanac, which is really his guide for other citizens about why they should care about the natural world, and if so, how that should change their behavior and their thinking. And so in A Sand County Almanac, which is really the culmination of his own lifelong journey and career, he puts forward this idea of a land ethic, as you mentioned earlier. And that's basically to help people understand that we are really a part of the biological community, not apart from the biological community. It sounds very simple, but we can find other analogous situations where when we finally discovered, right, that the Earth revolved around the sun, not the other way around, it totally fundamentally changed worldviews, and yet in many ways life didn't change at all. And so Leopold is kind of in that same group of thinkers where he is really kind of radically changing our worldviews, but it takes a long time to understand that and for the rest of us to really grasp what he was asking us to understand and step up to. And And so it's this call for a land ethic, I think, really that is what separates Leopold and why his legacy is so lasting.
Bringing in that idea of a land ethic, how did he want that to change the way we behave, the way we interacted with the land?
So I think, again, just to use kind of more common parlance, and Leopold describes this very beautifully, and if you haven't read, I, again, just encourage you to pick up a Sand County Almanac. Some refer to it almost as poetry, although it is prose. But to use just a common example, Leopold wanted us to understand that the flora and the fauna, you know, the birds and the bees, if you will, are basically our neighbors. And so just as we extend our boundaries of consideration, respect, appreciation to our friends, our families, our neighbors, if we can get that ethically and morally, then we need to extend that boundary of consideration to the plants, the animals, the air, the water, the resources that support life of all kind. And when we do that, then we will begin to treat them just as we treat our friends and relatives. And I think that's kind of the basic premise of the land ethic, that really we have an equal stake in all this, and as we treat others, so will we be treated.
Let's bring in a caller now at 800-642-1234. We have David in Woodstock, Illinois. Hi, David.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What did you want to bring up about Aldo Leopold?
Well, thank you very much for having me on the program. I wanted to point out, you know, I work as a restoration ecologist in McHenry County, and I've worked throughout the Midwest restoring landscapes, and I just wanted to add that, you know, Aldo Leopold is foundational to everything we do as restoration ecologists. And for those who don't aren't necessarily familiar with that term, what we do is we attempt to repair the structure, composition, and function of landscapes, and to return them to a setting that resembles that prior to human disturbance.
All right, David, I want to jump in and get a response to the basic idea you brought up there. Do you hear that often, buddy? People working in that kind of field say Aldo Leopold is fundamental to everything we do.
Yeah, and the really interesting and fun part is that ranges all the way from sustainable agriculture to wilderness preservation. And as David is speaking, I think, you know, a relatively new discipline and field, restoration ecology, where it really is about putting the pieces, the parts, the processes back together on the landscape to make the land healthier. And that's exactly what Leopold did on his farm in Sauk County, but also with other colleagues and citizens in the Madison area with the Madison Arboretum, the UW Arboretum, which is really looked at as the first conscious ecological restoration project in the world, where they weren't just planting trees to stabilize the soil or block the wind. They were trying to put back the pieces of the prairie, the woods, the wetlands, and see if we could try to recreate the diversity, the splendor, and the functionality of ecological systems before, you know, humanity kind of came on the scene in a big way and started altering all those processes.
We're talking to Buddy Huffaker. He's president and executive director of the Aldo Leopold Foundation.
And we'd like to hear from you on this one. What does Aldo Leopold mean to you? Have you read a Sand County Almanac? Will you be reading it over the weekend? And what is your takeaway from that and what Aldo Leopold meant to the conservation movement in Wisconsin and beyond? You can reach us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email to talk@wpr.org.
We'll continue the conversation in just a couple minutes. We'll talk about Aldo Leopold Weekend and about the documentary Green Fire, which you can pick up during our winter membership drive.
I'm Veronica Rickert here with Mike Arnold, and today is the final day of our winter membership drive for this weekday. We ask you to support the programs that you enjoy, and your support makes high-quality, commercial-free programs on WPR possible. And when you pledge today, you'll be entered into a drawing for an iPad Air. Now's a great time to support the programs you value, and the drive keeps going until Monday when it ends. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Basically, we're talking about doing something healthy with your money, and I'll just give you an example of this. I bought two candy bars and ate them them both.
Just now?
Yeah, $2. I spent $2 on them, $2.50, something like that. 500 calories. If I did that every day for a year, you know how many pounds I would gain? 52 pounds. I would gain 52 pounds if I did that every day. And sometimes I could do that every day. I'm saying what I'm talking about here is you're making a smart choice by supporting public radio. You're not putting on 52 pounds. You're expanding your mind
instead
by
of your
investing
waistline.
In Wisconsin yeah. Public Radio. Last hour we heard from 26 people. We'd like to hear from 25 people in the next, I don't know, 45 minutes or so. We can do it. We really can do it. And it's basically you and other people making healthy choices and supporting things that actually help you rather than hurt you. You don't want to gain 52 pounds. You want to support Wisconsin Public Radio. Go to the website at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. The programs you enjoy will be here every day on Wisconsin Public Radio, and your mind will expand thanks to your support.
And you might have found yourself hovering near the radio, drawn into a great discussion. I've done that. I'm supposed to be cleaning, but I'm cleaning a very small, suspiciously small area around my radio. Well, maybe you need to get somewhere, but that discussion is really interesting. So you sit there in the car. That's because you appreciate the guest's knowledge and also the caller's questions and their views, because it's happened to you. You know what that's like to be drawn into the radio. Make your pledge of support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you give to WPR to support the programs, but we have an added incentive this afternoon. You can get the DVD Green Fire, Aldo Leopold and the Land Ethic for Our Time, and it's yours when you give a pledge of $10 a month. That's $120 on an annual basis. It you've probably seen it on PBS, or maybe you have, but if you haven't, it's worth having. Ask for it now when you make a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Shopping at your local farmer's market, running a 5K for charity, the things that help you are all the more rewarding when they also help a whole community, like being a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio. Set up an ongoing monthly contribution and your gift will inform and entertain more than 200,000 people who listen every day.
Make your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Veronica Rickert. I'm here in the studio with Mike Arnold, and we're here to ask for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio during this winter membership drive. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe $20 a month feels better for you. Well, whatever amount you decide, whatever amount fits your budget, that is the right amount. The important thing, though, is to decide to become a member at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you've been hearing about that drawing today for the iPad Air, and you thought, boy, I really need to get entered into that. Well, now's the time to do it, because time is running out to get entered into the drawing. Everyone who pledges right now will be entered into the drawing for the iPad Air. You could be the lucky winner when you make a pledge of any amount right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And by the way, you don't have to pledge to participate. That's what we prefer, and we think you will too. But you can send a postcard with your name, address, email, and telephone number to WPR iPad Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Enter by sending a postcard or by making a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, things like iPads and, you know, old-fashioned newspapers and so on, a great way to get information, great way to get informed. But the thing that's great about radio is that you can basically use it while you're doing something. You can drive and listen to the radio. You cannot drive and watch an iPad Air. You can't drive and read the newspaper. You can't drive and do any of those things. So basically, this is something that is there for you all the time. And it wouldn't be there. We've been saying this a lot, but it's true. It wouldn't be there if it wasn't for listener support. You know, some people think that the tax dollars, federal and state, already support Wisconsin Public Radio. And you're right. To some extent, they do. And we thank you for that. But
listener support is actually the single biggest piece of the budget pie that may come as a surprise based on some of the things that, you know, that Mike was just talking about. But there it is. That's the truth. Listener support is the biggest piece of our budget pie. And that's why your support matters and why you should make a contribution right now to pay for the radio programs that you listen to at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're joined now by Buddy Huffaker, President and Executive Director of the Aldo Leopold Foundation.
We're talking about Aldo Leopold's conservation legacy and Aldo Leopold Weekend, starting right about now. You can join the show at 800-642-1234. Will you be reading Aldo Leopold, the Sand County Almanac, this weekend? Will you be going to a screening of Green Fire, the documentary that you can pick up, by the way, with a pledge at WPR.org? If you want to join the show, call 800-642-1234. To more calls in just a moment. But, Buddy, can you tell us a little bit about Aldo Leopold Weekend?
Yeah. You know, at the end of his book, A Sand County Almanac, he writes that the land ethic is a product of social evolution because nothing so important as an ethic is ever written. He goes on to say it evolves in the minds of a thinking community. So first, I think it's a great connection to Wisconsin Public Radio because this is a tremendous asset to develop and cultivate a thinking community. And that's really how Leopold Weekend grew into being. It was really a group of people in Lodi, Wisconsin, led by Professor Tom Heberlein and others, who, you know, just as we look out the window right now, their mind wanted to venture outside, but the weather often didn't cooperate. And so the next best thing they thought was to read a Sand County Almanac aloud together and have a discussion about it. What did it mean to them? How would the land ethic look today? What should they be doing as individuals and as community to implement and adopt Leopold's ideas? And so it really kind of caught like wildfire, to use the expression. And they brought in people. They would do a community reading. They would do service projects. And people would basically go back to their community, and the idea would sprout there. And so it had this organic evolution. And then in March, and that's 2000, so we're on the 14th anniversary of this annual gathering in Lodi, and they'll have events there this weekend. And then in March of 2004, Governor Doyle actually signed legislation designating the first weekend in March as Aldo Leopold Weekend. And the idea continues to spread. There are about 30 communities this year that are having activities. We have events actually out of the state now, and our first international event is happening in Turkey this weekend. So it's very much a kind of community spirit. It takes on the life and the identity of each community, whether they're building benches, showing a movie, doing a community discussion, cleaning a river. But it's all kind of rooted in Leopold's idea of a land ethic.
We'll go back to our callers now. We've got John joining us from the Pinoki Harvest Camp. John, hi.
Hi. The way I like to read Sand County Almanac, I've got a copy on my dashboard, and then every time I go out running and skiing or snowshoeing in the woods, I open it at random to a page and read a passage. It's like magic, and I'd like to think that Leopold's spirit is up here with us in the Pinokis fight.
All right, John, thanks for the call. And the Pinoki Harvest Camp near the proposed iron mine site in northern Wisconsin. Do you, Buddy, see people doing what John does, just flipping open Sand County Almanac and getting inspiration, even though they've read it maybe many times before?
Yeah, for those that have seen Green Fire, there's a great passage by Jack Ward Thomas, the former chief of the U.S. Forest Service, where he says he reads a Sand County Almanac every year on his birthday just to see what he's learned. And it's an amazing volume in that every time you do go back into it, whether your life has changed, your environment has changed, you find something new and even richer to get out of it. And it's amazing the people that we hear from that have a similar experience where they open it annually or regularly, but continue to find new depths in it.
You mentioned the Green Fire documentary. Quick reminder, if you call with a pledge of $10 a month or more this hour, you can get your own copy of Green Fire with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We've got just a brief clip from there. We'll give a listen.
The amazing thing is, after all these years, the interest in Leopold just continues to grow. It's still read as a contemporary because his ideas are still not only so current, they're still so far ahead of us.
so far ahead of us. That's part of why we like that clip. Is that true? Do you think Aldo Leopold is still out ahead of the people in the conservation industry, a conservation movement?
Well, you know, I'm slightly biased, but I think so. I think, you know, and in part is not because he has the answers for us, but that he provokes us to think about the fundamental questions about what our relationship with the natural world is. You know, you're having some programming about frac sand mining, you're the Pinoki Range. You know, we continue to deal with these real challenges about how to live on what Leopold called the oldest task in human history, how to live on a piece of land without spoiling it. And so it's, you know, going to be an enduring and fundamental challenge for us as a species and a community into the future. And Leopold helps us frame and think about what we really care about, what it's going to really take to keep our communities healthy. And that's going to be ever changing. So I think he was, is, and always will be out in front of us.
Kathy in Catawba joins us now. Kathy, hi.
Hi. I had a question. I'm from, you know, native of Wisconsin, but one of our children lives out in the Bitterroot Valley in Montana, and when I was out there visiting her in January, I went to the River Valley County Museum in Hamilton, and they have some information there that evidently Aldo Leopold spent some time out in that area.
Oh, interesting. So we can't hog all the Aldo Leopold in Wisconsin.
Well, yeah, he did spend time out west. You know, he was born in Iowa. Sometimes we don't like to admit that. But he was born in Iowa, spent time in the east, time out west. And so, yes, and again, you could go to many wildlife refuges, national parks, national forests. Whether Leopold actually spent time there personally or not, you could see a quote from him. You could see, to David's point earlier in the session, that Leopold is very much just fundamental to those kinds of places and those kinds of ideas. But, you know, I think we can lay a fair amount of claim to his ideas here in Wisconsin, because it's really here where they blossomed and where he was called to write a Sand County Almanac.
We'll leave it there. Buddy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's an honor to be with you, and thanks to all those communities across the state that are celebrating Leopold's legacy.
That's Buddy Huffaker, President and Executive Director of the Aldo Leopold Foundation. He joined us to discuss the legacy of Aldo Leopold and the history of Aldo Leopold Weekend. That's this weekend here in Wisconsin.
Coming up next, a WPR reporter gives us an update on proposed frac sand mining regulations. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Quick reminder, it is our winter pledge drive. We're looking for 16 more pledges this hour. And with your pledge of $10 a month or more, you can ask for your very own copy of the Green Fire documentary about the life and work of Aldo Leopold. Make your pledge at WPR.org. or call 888-202-2552. Stick around. More to come on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, we get the latest on proposed changes to the way frac sand mines are regulated here in Wisconsin.
First, it's the WPR Winter Membership Drive. Mike Arnold joins us now in the studio. Listeners provide the single largest piece of our budget. That's why your gift is so important right now. And to encourage your gift today, your pledge of any amount automatically enters you in a drawing for an iPad Air. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or with a call at 888-202-2552.
We're making some fast progress on our goal for this hour. We just have 14 more pledges to go in the next 25 minutes or so. We can do it with your support right now. Your pledge right now will pay for the programs that you count on all year long. Thanks if you've already given, but if you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might wonder what your pledge pays for. Well, we've got toll-free numbers so you can call in your questions. We rely on newspapers, yes, old-fashioned newspapers, magazines. magazine subscriptions, internet services so we can research the topics of the day, all of these things, and a lot more. There's a lot of technology around here, too. I don't fully understand it all. All these things cost money. Your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 helps pay for all that stuff.
And what does it do for you? What does it do for you? It creates a place where people come together in Wisconsin and talk about issues, better understand issues, discuss things. Robert from Weston called in and said that he's giving because WPR is perhaps Wisconsin's greatest resource. Do you feel that way about Wisconsin Public Radio? You should support it. It's listener-powered radio. WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is the number.
And you can choose the DVD Green Fire, Aldo Leopold and A Land Ethic for Our Time as your thank you gift for your pledge of $120 or more. That's $10 a month. We were just talking about Aldo Leopold Weekend kicking off right about now. Your pledge supports our programs on the Ideas Network and you enjoy this DVD. Make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I like Wisconsin Public Radio because the programming is excellent. I feel like being a listener and a contributor that it helps me be a little more in control of what's over the airwaves. Wisconsin Public Radio is important because all of us as a community are contributing and helping to make sure that we get balanced coverage on news and also a very positive listening environment. I find humor and I love the political discussion that covers both sides of the issues, and I think that's really important. I'm Amy Kocha from Green Bay, and I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
And you can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Make your pledge during this winter membership drive. Rob Ferret here with Mike Arnold asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Your gift of $5 or $10 or $15 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We heard a few minutes ago the value that a listener saw in this show. Or in this radio station. It's a place where topics are not polarized. We don't have people, you know, fighting each other. We bring people together around issues and discuss them and better understand them. And if you appreciate that, if you value that, and I know you do, now's the time to support it. You can make your pledge in the form of an ongoing monthly gift of $15 or $20 a month, or whatever amount fits your budget. You can set that up on your credit or debit card, or better yet, right from the bank account. When you make a sustaining gift to Wisconsin Public Radio, you don't have to remember to renew your support every year.
Your support's going to be as consistent as your listening to WPR day after day, month after month, year after year. Become a sustainer now by making an ongoing gift. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This pledge drive's a little bit shorter this time around because of sustaining memberships. That's another reason why people are becoming sustaining members. As you do that, it makes it possible for us to be less reliant on pledge drives. But we need your support, and we know that you value this radio station. We know that you value the fact that there's a place in Wisconsin where people can come together, talk about the issues, and we hear what everybody has to say. We hear what everybody thinks about issues, and we sift and winnow and figure out what's going on in the world around us. You appreciate that. It's only here because of listener support. So please call now and make your pledge at 888-202-2552 or go online to WPR.org. And thanks.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Now we've got an update for you on frac sand mining restrictions in Wisconsin.
Last November, a group of Republican senators introduced a bill that would restrict the ability of local governments in the state to regulate frac sand mining. Under the bill, those decisions would be made at the state level.
That legislation was met with strong opposition from both local governments and from citizens. This week, a scaled-back version of that bill was introduced, and Eau Claire-based WPR reporter Rich Kramer is here with us now to give us the latest. Rich, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
So we talked about that bill that was put forth in November proposing new frac sand regulations. Now there is a new one. It's being billed sort of as one that is stripped down. What's new about this one?
Well, what's new is that instead of just taking away the local government's authority to regulate this industry, they're basically grandfathering existing facilities. The big difference is if a frac sand mine is permitted by the local county, town, or village, then any regulations that the town, county, or village may pass having to do with that industry after the fact doesn't apply to them. It applies to any, you know, facilities that haven't been built yet or permitted or even registered the property, but it won't affect ones that are already operating.
Now, is this leaner version of the bill a direct response to the opposition that the one in November saw?
Well, it's hard to say. I don't really know the answer to that question, but I do know that the authors of the bill, Republican State Senator Tom Tiffany and Representative Joan Baldwig, they both really sort of backpedaled. I don't know if they were expecting the outcry that they got when they introduced the original version, which was Senate Bill 349. But, I mean, you had local governments. You had the Towns Association really opposing this. The Counties Association was kind of neutral on it, but they were in talks behind the scenes to make some changes because it was all about local control, and this first bill, 349, seemed like it was an attack on that.
So let's make sure we understand this new bill. So what you're saying essentially is there's a frac sand mine that exists already. It's got a permit. Any new local ordinances or regulations can't touch it.
That's right. Actually, and it doesn't even have to be built. A lot of the frac sand mines, you know, you hear numbers like, oh, there's almost, you know, there's 100, 150 frac sand mines. Well, that is a number that includes operations that are actually producing frac sand. It also includes permits, operations that have been permitted. So, but basically, if you go through the process to get your property, permitted for frac sand mining, then yeah, any further restrictions beyond what's already in place when you get that permit will not apply to you.
Do you have a sense of how many existing frac sand operations, or at least land with permits, are out there that maybe haven't begun building yet?
Oh, boy. The number is it's pretty foggy. But the last count that I saw, there was something like 60, maybe 70 operating, and then a total of close to 200. But that was numbers from the DNR. Everybody's got different numbers because this industry is growing so fast that it's really hard to keep track of it. And aside from the DNR, there's no agency that really is in charge of keeping track of it all. So what you have to do is go county by county, town by town to find out.
Now, what are the aspects of the mines that local governments would like to control?
We're talking about things like hours of operation, you know, how whether they go 24 hours a day, or whether they have to shut down on the weekend. We're also talking about light pollution. You know, that's also kind of goes along with the hours of operation, because at night, out in the county, you know, when it's pitch black, except for you've got a huge industrial operation. We're also talking about things like blasting. To get at the rock, we're talking about sandstone, so they have to blast chunks of the rock face off, and then they grind that up. And so it's things like that. Basically, quality of life things.
And last time you talked about the opposition that the older set of regulations saw. How are local governments and citizens responding this time?
Well, I haven't heard too much. It just came out this week. And officially, I know that the Counties Association and the Towns Association, two very powerful lobbying groups for the local governments, they are neutral. They are not supporting it. They're not against it. They're basically stepping out of the way. And I would say they're happier with this version than they were with the first version. But other than that, I called some of my contacts, local contacts, that are kind of watchdogs of the frac sand industry and generally opposed to it. And they hadn't really had time to digest it yet. But overall, it seems like it's being received as better than the first version.
Now, I want to go back for a moment to the legislators who are behind this push for new regulations. And as I understand it, they do not have frac sand mines in their districts. What do you think is their attachment to this bill?
Well, yeah, generally they're from, you know, the southern and eastern parts of the state. But Tom Tiffany in particular, I can't really speak for Representative Baldwig, but Tom Tiffany, he's taken a leading role in a lot of mining legislation. He was involved with the iron mining bill, too. Other than that, I can't really say it. It'd be speculation.
And in terms of what the local governments would like to be able to regulate, you talked about the light pollution. You talked about the blast zone as well. Do you have a sense about whether those things these local governments may be this time around more willing to compromise on?
With the individual companies, you mean?
Yes.
Well, yeah. It seems like there was a really visceral reaction when the whole frac sand mining thing really started exploding right around 2011, 2012. I'm not sure. It depends on the group. I mean, if you've got a town board of three people and then all of a sudden there's a big push to get some anti-frac sand mining people on there, you can have a local government that is really averse to frac sand mining. But in general, I think people are kind of coming to the realization that you can't really stop it. It's all they can do is really kind of, work with the companies as best they can and come out with the best alternative for, that they can get. It seemed like at first it was kind of, we got to stop this. Now it's, let's work with them and try to make it the best possible situation that we can.
Wisconsin is a national leader in frac sand mining, and so it's probably making up some of this as it goes along. But do you have a sense right now about how these frac sand companies feel about these new regulations?
Well, this bill, the regulations that the towns are giving or with regard to this bill?
With regards to this bill.
They like it. I talked to Rich Buttinger. He's the president of the Wisconsin Industrial Sand Association. It's a group that represents four companies, really the older companies in Wisconsin, some of which have been mining frac sand for 100 years. Because it's not just for industrial, it's not just for oil drilling. They can also use it for glass and foundry work. But they are the official spokes group, I guess, for the industry in Wisconsin, and they're happy with it. Their main complaint beforehand, and the reason why we had both of these bills, is they accused some town governments that are being kind of overwhelmed and taken over by people that are opposed to the industry entirely. They're saying that there was a lot of changing the rules in the middle of the game, and they said that created uncertainty for them.
And I want to ask you, as we wind up here, now there's a public hearing set for this bill on March 3rd. What can we expect at that hearing?
Well, you're going to hear a lot of impassioned people speaking about it. You're going to hear a lot of people against it. I think some of the people will be against anything that makes it easier on an industry to do large-scale mining. And then you'll hear the industry saying that they need this because they can't operate in a situation or in an environment where all of a sudden the rules may change and they may be regulated out of business.
Well, Rich, thank you so much for coming on and talking about it today.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking to Rich Kramer, the WPR Eau Claire-based reporter, and we've been talking about new legislation that would take existing frac sand mines out of the hands of local jurisdictions.